What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Bentley coming up here. Here's Marchand with a shot. Score! Into the slot. Rodriguez. Verhage shoots. He scores!
Where are the points for Sasha Barkov?
Yes! I love it.
That's the way we begin today after whatever we just witnessed to close out the back half.
His value's going up. He's getting traded. That's what Paul Maurice said. We're trading him.
Well, anyone who watches the Panthers amid success or even the tougher moments knows that Barkov is the integral part, regardless of whether he gets 1, 2, 3 points or zero. And it was not necessary for him to be offensive last night based on just about every other big name around him, giving the Florida Panthers a 2-1 Stanley Cup final lead.
So Duffer, just before we went on the air today, I did something that you're not supposed to do. I picked at a scab right around my ankle and now it's bleeding. So now I've got like a paper towel on it. But I feel like that's what the Florida Panthers did to the Edmonton Oilers yesterday. They picked at a scab that we knew was going to be something that if you pick hard enough at, you may just, you know, get to it. And they got to Stuart Skinner. And that's the ugly scab that the Edmonton Oilers have carried with them all the way to the Stanley Cup final again this year. But it just, I didn't think Skinner was great in game two. Definitely was not good in game three. And now he got pulled and you have Calvin Pickard going in. You're looking at game four. You're going to have that conversation. I think Skinner goes back in, but it's the scab that you didn't want to open up again. And it did now in game three of the Stanley Cup final.
We could have done without this being visual. Literal.
The visual.
So now my only focus is on your ankle.
I'll live. I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
Well, I think you're being, of course, you have every right to be. It's your position after all. I, I didn't hear anybody saying much about Skinner after the tough double overtime loss. In fact, we said just the opposite on this show yesterday, that the series has not been about goaltending at all.
It's not.
So now, I know, but now you're conveniently saying, well, it wasn't great in game two. Well, what is it? Was he not a factor in game two?
So,
or is it just one tough, maybe two tough goals against, which are going to happen to every single goaltender? Like, I don't know. As I get inflamed about this, I think you're right. I think they're probably going to do something bold and go to Pickard. And guess what? It's easy. He hasn't lost, and
he's
they have
and
to
0.
Win. So, yeah. But to put any of this on Skinner, I can check out of this conversation.
Well,
right now.
I'll say this. So when game two was happening on Friday night, at one point I almost texted Jamie McLennan, who works the panel for TSN for that game, right? And I was like, I don't love the way Skinner is going right now. But right as I was about to send it, Oilers scored. Oilers took a 4-3 win. They took a lead, then lost it again. Anyway, I'm like, you know what? It's just one of those games. Like, I'm going to put that one aside. I think he did enough good in the game. I don't think it was about goaltending. It was a double overtime loss. I mean, it's fine. But there was some signs in that game that I was like, I'm not loving the way that he's playing right now, the way that he's moving. But it's let's put that in the garbage. Let's move forward. And then now I went back to the garbage, pulled my notes, right? Because I'm like, hey, game three feels like it was way too close in the way that it continued from game two. And then it's like, people didn't like the overtime goal in game two, the breakaway Brad Marchand. I'm like, I don't blame him for that. We talked about the back check. It's like a hard... That's fine, but there's other parts of the game that I didn't love, and I felt like there was a little anxiousness to his game. Mm-hmm. Well, that anxiousness was in the game yesterday, a little overzealous. Like the first goal, he's all over the place, then he gets beat clean, and then he's trying to play the puck too much, and he shoots it over the glass and early, and that ended up being the 5-1 goal.
Yeah, in the third period, it was moot.
It was moved. I would have played Calvin Pickard in the third period, to be honest with you. I would have said, either you give Skinner a break, you say, clear your mind, 20 minutes, you're not going in, or you're like, I got to put Calvin Pickard in to get to see. Like, do I want him to play on Thursday for game four? So that was moot. You're absolutely right. I wasn't loving the approach to the game from Stuart Skinner's point of view. You're going to get beat by good shots, you know, like Verhaeghe shot bar down shore side, Reinhardt. But I didn't like the approach, the body language, the anxiousness in his game.
Things you may not be able to answer, but I will ask anyway.
Yes.
Is it possible that a goaltender's performance from the outset reflects how the team is coming into the battle? Because clearly the Oilers did not have their best game. And so there can be many contributing factors. Did the Oilers lose their mojo because of the first goal allowed by Skinner? Or were the Oilers collectively, including Skinner, just a little off coming into this game, knowing they could have easily had a 2-0 series, not easily, could have had a 2-0 series lead coming in there. Like, did you see stuff where Skinner's performance was matching up with the Oilers' performance throughout the first 20, 30, 40 minutes of this game?
Yes, there was plenty of things that are telling me that the Oilers as a whole were off. Number one, you go down 1-0, but it's a goal. It's early in the game. It's 56 seconds.
Not
in.
A great goal, but it doesn't matter. We talked about this
goal,
all the
by
time.
By the way, I have a mini rant about something that came up in that Brad Marchand goal, but maybe I'll save it for tomorrow. Then what happens is you get the power play. Anton Lundell tripping. Mm-hmm. You get the power play. Bobrovsky made a save on McDavid, but were the Oilers really good on the power play? And so you could have made it 1-1 on that power play. And then you decide to take a Kane cross check at the end of that power play. Bad penalty. Bad, not undisciplined penalty. A Kane high stick. Too many men on the ice. Like, you basically your game needed to be score on the power play or keep it 5-on-5 so you can have McDavid and Draisaitl going. Mm-hmm. You stopped that. And then even after you killed all of those, you killed three Florida power play. You had two power play of your own, and you didn't score. And then the Arvidsson goalie interference led to the Verhaeghe goal. Like, there was a lot between the 1-0 goal and the 2-0 goal that did not go right for the Oilers. Discipline was one. Execution on the power play was two. Like, they could have been up 2-1. The three power plays, you could have been up 2-1. You just didn't execute. You didn't play well at all. And then it just this unraveled from there. The discipline or lack thereof with the Oilers was so bad. Like, if you're the coach, Chris Knobloch, and you see this happening, like, you want to just have one of those Pat Burns moment on the bench with your or John Torella moment where you're just yelling at everybody to be disciplined, to stop taking stupid penalties. They were undisciplined. They still had a chance. It's 2-0 after one. Okay, settle down. We can score 3-4 goals in the second and third period. Mm-hmm. They never had it. The Oilers never had it in this one.
Do you think that part of the reason they didn't switch goalies going into the third was the fact that Nurse had taken the late penalty and they were starting the period on the penalty kill? And that's maybe not a super fair position to bring in Pickard in that situation. Could have. Based on past history and the Oilers leading the league in third period comeback wins this year in the mm-hmm. postseason, the reality is, okay, so we're down 4-1. We're leading the league in multi-goal comeback wins
yes.
this postseason. And this series has been all about just pushing back, which we're more than capable of. Is that the reason why they kept him in?
I think the power play is probably the biggest reason. You get in a lot in the coach's room and you're like, do we put Pickard in? You put him in and we're shorthanded. Like, let's give Skinner like the period. Maybe he shuts the door for 20 minutes and we're right. Like, hey, you know what? Good. You're going game four and you were able to recover. Mm-hmm. I think that probably had a lot to do with it, more than the fact to say we're going to come back. I think it was protecting Pickard, but also hoping for the best for Stuart Skinner, that you go 20 minutes, don't give up a goal, you challenge your team. Let's kill this penalty and let's go. We're shutting the door. Fortunately, Skinner is the one that took the penalty to throw it over the glass, right? So that was a bit of an issue. And then, but what did Florida do? Like, we talk about Barkov, he didn't have any points in the first two games. He was -4. I did a little thing on TSN yesterday, though. They asked me, like, is Barkov not playing at the level he should? And I'm like, okay, he's not performing. He's not producing. He's -4. Everybody's looking at -4. You know the four goals he was on the ice against? Like, one of them was technically a 5-on-5 goal. Like, there was a 4-on-4 goal. There was a 6-on-5 goal. And there was the Victor Arvidsson long slap shot that beat Bobrovsky. That was not a good goal. Like, it's not like he was victimized in a lot of 5-on-5 situations or whatnot. So, but the thing that Florida has now that worked is when they got that late power play in the first period and they had just missed on, what was it, 1, 2, 3, 4 power plays in the first. They had missed on 3 consecutive power plays, right? Mm-hmm. Paul Maurice says, man, I'm putting my second unit on to start the power play because I feel like they're the ones that are getting me a little bit more of the chances that I need. And that's where Verhaeghe scored. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the top unit that went on of Tkachuk and Barkov and Reinhardt. It was Verhaeghe that was there, that got the puck to the side. Great shot. But that's the difference. That was the difference in the game yesterday, is that everybody was waiting for Draisaitl and McDavid to get the Oilers going. When Florida, Barkov had a great game, produced, Sam Reinhardt scored, but it's their secondary guys that got them going. Marchand early, Verhaeghe late in the first, and then they moved on.
What do you make of the last 30 minutes of the game, or stupid, just the third period or whatever? And do you think, I mean, the only thing I wonder in these situations is, did anybody actually get hurt? Because there were enough severe stick infractions where one could think, considering the number of times we see throughout the course of the year where someone may break a bone on an, in a, you know, a far less intentional slash
rope hands,
or
Darnell
cross check or whatever. Like some of these plays, I'm like, broken rib, broken ankle, broken hand. Like, is this a possibility that something comes out of this and we're going to learn it 2 weeks after the Stanley Cup final ended?
Yeah, or we may see somebody being a game time decision on Thursday, and you're like, what? But because it's 2 days, 3 days later, right? There's 2 days off between game three and four, so it may not be talked about. And then we'll get to Thursday morning for morning skate. It'll be like, this guy's not on the ice. What happened? And then you go back to the video. There was some takedowns, and I hate takedowns because there's always a leg that gets dragged behind. There's always an arm that falls awkwardly. Head could hit the ice. There were some bad moments. But so Mike Rupp on NHL Network after the game had a little bit of a Marty Rantanen moment where he was not happy with Trent Frederick in the middle of the third period when he went after Sam Bennett. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you're Trent Frederick and you're like, I want to get something going. I want to send a message. Okay, you got to figure Bennett, Tkachuk, Reinhart, Barkov. Like, those are the main guys on the other team that you want to kind of go after. But he went after Bennett when Gadjevich, AJ Greer, and like basically the fourth lines were on the ice. So it really didn't have the impact. And they got pushed around. The Oilers got pushed around. Like, Nurse ends up having to fight. Ekholm is being, you know, assaulted by AJ Greer by the bench. And the Oilers players are like protecting Ekholm on the bench. Like, we got to protect. It was Trent Frederick that tried to start something. Mm-hmm. But really, the Florida Panthers are like, you want to start something? Okay. And I feel like the Panthers didn't really want, I didn't feel like the Panthers wanted this to get to a goon fest. The Oilers initiated the goon fest, and the Panthers were like, well, now that you brought us into the fight, we're going to show you how it gets done. I feel like the Oilers were manhandled in those moments. They were the undisciplined one. They were the one that got pushed around. And Florida, by the end of the game, Marchand is looking over the bench and is like, yeah, really smart, really smart. Like, everybody's looking at the Edmonton Oilers saying that was dumb of them to do. They just, maybe they woke up the Panthers. Maybe the Panthers win the next two. This series ends in five, and you're like, everybody from Florida is going to say, they woke us up. They woke us up when they needed, they shouldn't have done it. I don't know. It could easily go that way.
I guess, or it just becomes something on a box score in game three of a 7-game Stanley Cup final, right?
11 power plays for the Florida Panthers in the game, Duffer.
I don't think Calvin Pickard saw much 5-on-5 when he came into the game.
He barely did. But you know that I went game by game for the Florida Panthers this year to see what was the most power plays they got in the game? Seven was one time. They got one time, they got seven. They beat up Nashville 6-2 at home in November. And the Nashville Predators probably decided, we're having a terrible start to the season. We are getting beat bad. We're going to goon it up. And it was still not 11 power plays. It was seven. They got 11 power plays. That is a crazy number.
How much? Well, yeah. I mean, last night they ended up on the power play for 15 and a half minutes. Edmonton also had an exceedingly high number of power play time, too. They had 9.5 minutes. So you're talking almost half the game was spent with one team on a power play. So
they ended up with 17 power plays, 11 for Florida and 6 for the Oilers. But I'll tell you this, in any game, if I'm the Florida Panthers and I'm like, we're going to be 2-1 in the power plays and it's going to be 11-6. I don't care if we have 6 penalty kills. I mean, we got 11 power plays. It was 5-on-3s in that too. It became a little bit laughable as how the Oilers were trying to get it done. And really, the undiscipline, what it did is it kept McDavid on the bench. It kept Draisaitl on the bench in the first period at a time where you needed them. And then Chris Knobloch was like, I'm not playing them anymore. I'm not going to play them. There's no reason to play them and chancing them getting hurt. So, McDavid and Draisaitl just sat on the bench for the rest of the game.
Well, not entirely, but I get your point. Drysdale's out there with a couple minutes left.
Just because there was nobody else left. Yeah.
Just merely stating facts, Marty. That's all.
Yeah, I get it. So, I had a shift in the third period too, I think. You know, I was helping them out.
So
I'll tell you, okay, listen, I'll tell you my little mini Marty ranting enough Tuesday, because by tomorrow it won't matter. So Brad Marchand scores in the first minute of game three. And I'm a big Kenny Albert's fan. He's a great guy and all of that. And he's probably being fed these things, right? These stats or whatever. And he probably grabs the paper and they're like, hey, this is on Marchand. Well, this is interesting. Brad Marchand becomes the oldest NHL player to score a game-winning goal in overtime in one game and get a goal in the first minute of the next game. Like, what does that mean?
It's a fact.
Is it a fact that, like,
I don't think it was the oldest, though. I think he was just the first player ever to have the overtime winner and score in the first. It had nothing to do with age.
Yeah. He became the oldest player in a Stanley Cup final to score a goal in each of the first three games. So I think that's where I mixed them up. Like, okay. But that one, I'm like, oh, okay. That proves he's got a goal in game one, game two, game three. That's great. But I love how he's like, first player in Stanley Cup history, playoff final history, to score an overtime game winner and then have a goal in the first minute of the next game. I'm like, okay.
I don't know who you are anymore, because I think you are a stats guy, but you seem to be like panning some of these uniquely unearthed statistics here.
I don't love when you're trying to create.
Dude, I do this every single Sabres broadcast throughout the season. I cherry pick every single night that since January 22nd, this Sabre is third in the league in goals. Since February 4th, this Sabre has more time on ice at even strength in front of his parents. Like,
well,
honestly,
no, you don't. If you used in front of his parents, I would have a Marty Rantanen right there on the set. But it paints a picture. Like, if the Sabres are 10-4-2 in their last 16, and it's like, okay, that's when it started. Yes, it's a arbitrary kind of start, but it paints the picture. I think I love when we do this, when you do this, is looking at why are things going right, or why are things going wrong, or for an individual or whatnot. But if you go to Brad Marchand and said, hey, you're the first player to have scored an overtime goal and then scored in the first minute of the next game, Brad would be like, so what? Like, you'd be like, I'm just playing the game. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, okay. The only thing that might irk me in connecting those two facts, which was overtime winner, first minute goal scorer, is if somebody professes it to be a record. That's when it bothers me. It's not a record. It's a thing. It's something that happened. It's not a record.
The
okay.
It's a footnote.
It's a
little like, write it down on your piece of paper. And then when you're done, when you say it out loud, you crumble it and you throw it in the garbage. It doesn't stay in your notes.
Which is what Edmonton does with game three. But when they have to present this clean sheet, submitting their lineup for game four on Thursday, will it have Calvin Pickard as the starter?
I don't think so. And there's, like, I was debating it in my head last night thinking, okay, what if you choose Calvin Pickard in game four? Okay. If you win, well, then Pickard is 7-0 and you keep going, right?
Yep.
If you lose, then you can always say, we're going to go back to Stuart Skinner in game five and hope to make a run down 3-1, win game five, six, and seven, and win the Stanley Cup. Now, if you do the opposite, if you go to Stuart Skinner and he wins, same thing, he keeps on going. And if he loses, then you say, do we want to go to Calvin Pickard in an elimination game? Because game five would be an elimination game in Edmonton. So both scenarios I don't like, really, to think that way. But I think the scenario that is most likely is that Stuart Skinner is going to have a day off today, a practice day tomorrow, get ready for Thursday night, and he will probably be in the net for the Edmonton Oilers. That's the most likely scenario to me. But I don't even like to think, well, if Skinner plays bad and loses, I'm going to Calvin Pickard game five.
Why?
That would be like
almost. It's easy. He's unbeaten. You're on home ice. You did the same thing last year to Florida. You put them on the ropes after falling behind 3-0. To me, this is easy. I don't think there's a real lose situation here for the Oilers. I think both options are really viable.
Are they really viable, or are they what you're left with, right? But what do you do? Like, I think they probably go to
Skinner had one bad game. He's been so good. And okay, if you're going to magnify it and or place blame, okay, you go to the goaltender who was unbeaten. I think this is a really easy scenario for the Oilers to be in.
Are you, as a coach, that's a great point. If you go to Calvin Pickard, you're basically saying that one, that was a bad one from Stuart Skinner, and now I'm not feeling as confident in Stuart Skinner. Uh-huh. Are you in a place where you could say that as a coach right now? I'm not. I'm just saying, like, Stuart Skinner would start Thursday, but it's a conversation internally. But it's not like Pete DeBoer saying we had a conversation about Casey DeSmith starting game four instead of Jake Oettinger. Like, it's not at that level. It's normal if you have Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard to have that conversation, but I would still play Stuart Skinner, I think.
To my knowledge, they have not hired Pete DeBoer as a goaltending consultant yet. Yet. There could still be four games to go in this year's Stanley Cup final. So,
could you imagine, though, like, game four starts Thursday, mm-hmm. and Calvin Pickard is in net, okay? And he's the one that's going to play. So now,
what bad can come from that? Nothing.
What bad?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bad. Nothing bad can come from this.
Who's the better goalie of the two?
I don't know. They have almost the same amount of wins this playoff.
Yeah. One has 7. The other one has 6.
One makes twice as much money, yet both are still very...
I think Stuart Skinner is probably the better goalie of the two.
I just... I don't see them doing it, which I am happy the Oilers are on. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to put this on Skinner and make it look like it was on Skinner. I don't think they're going to do that. But
are you using this to wake up your team and saying that was not on my goalie? He's right. Going to start. You guys better wake it up.
If I thought that Pickard had fluked his way to this unbeaten mark, then I would have a little bit more in the way of skepticism, doubt about a decision to start him. But I think he's been very good. And we live in a world where numbers are a little bit inflated nowadays. So I'm not super concerned about his save percentage being below 900, yet him being unbeaten. So this is why I don't, like, I don't think there's a wrong decision. I have all the faith in the world in the Oilers based on how they responded last year, but more so how they play this year. And sorry, it took 26 and a half minutes to get to this, but a number, not a record, a number that has been circulating here the last little while is that in the last 2 playoff years, from game 4 on, the Oilers are 18-2. So I am not worried about the Edmonton Oilers one bit. This is their time to shine. This is where they push back. And last year they won 3 straight in a situation of a deficit in the final against Florida, only to fall in heartbreaking fashion 2-1 in game 7. So count me unconcerned about the Oilers' current plight / disadvantage in the series.
And I would think the Oilers would probably be the ones that are unconcerned as well. Like, okay, we lost that one. You put it behind. You go in for game 4. Mm-hmm. But that goalie decision, I think there's going to be a few guys that are going to, you know, get ready for practice tomorrow. They're going to walk in and they're going to peek at the board. Is it, Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard that's in the one spot, or that, you know, there's going to be some
Wouldn't
guys
they
that are
know
peek
on
the
group
board.
Text beforehand. Come on, man.
You probably won't get maybe you get a group text with the lineup or whatever, but it's practice day tomorrow. I'm talking about, like, you're going to show up to the rink and maybe you're just looking at see what happens. Yeah. Now I'll tell you this, Stuart Skinner this year in the playoffs has given up 38 goals on 38 expected goals. He is.
What? Try that again.
Stuart Skinner in the playoffs this year, he gave up 38 goals on 38 expected goals. So he is even.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, he was supposed to give up 38 and he gave up 38.
So does Calvin that make Pickard, it good or bad? Probably bad, right?
That's middle of the road average. Like, that means an average goaltender would have done the same thing, right?
Yes.
Like, you want to be above. You want to be in the, the better. Calvin Pickard gave up 20 goals and was supposed to only have given up 19. So it's not like the numbers itself don't say one or the other is, like, much, you know, above in the performances.
I think we usually tend to refer to that as even Steven. We'll round up and make it as if the goaltending for Edmonton, either one of them, has been pretty much average. Therefore, their chances on any given night are basically the same, whether it's Skinner in goal or whether it's Pickard.
I think in a game that was 6-1 yesterday, you know who stood out to me, but really,
it doesn't matter
at the end of the day.
Team?
It's Sergei Bobrovsky.
Oh, you didn't let me answer.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Bob was the reason they won the game.
You want to know what Bob's goal save above expectations is this playoffs? He's given up 45 goals, and he was supposed to give up 56. He has saved 11 goals better than expectations. That's
what the Oilers
were hoping they were getting. Last night, he saved a goal and a half
And when did that goal and a half happen? Early on when the game was in doubt. I thought Bob was laser sharp from the outset. And after Skinner chased on the first one to give Florida the lead, then you just kept looking at Bob going, ooh, it's going to be a it could be a really hard night here for Edmonton based on how good he looks. So anyway, yes.
Yeah, guessing 100% games. That goal that in the first period, the Oilers had a 1.1 expected goals in the first period. They come out with nothing.
Right.
So he saved over a goal in the first period alone.
All right, lots to get to. Mini rants, major rants. Who knows how many more of those throughout the course of the week. Sabres Foundation Golf Tournament. It is coming up in mid-September 15th, as a matter of fact, at the Country Club of Buffalo. Sign up today to get in, play with a current player, an alumnus, personality. Enjoy a great day on the links. Visit sabres.com/golf today. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, we are rolling along here in this gap between games 3 and 4 in the Stanley Cup Final. They'll get back at it on Thursday.
What would you do if you were in Florida and you had Tuesday and Wednesday off before a Thursday game?
Obviously, I would find multiple concerts.
We would have to spend some hours at the beach or the pool, though. That has been something that we've done on the road, Duffer, where we just got to get the sun, got to get like maybe a nap, and then there's an evening concert. Yeah, I know you don't sleep.
And it's getting worse. Just so you know.
But I mean, there's a lot of media members that are loving the fact that they put this gap in Florida between game 3 and 4, because now they get today and tomorrow to just be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, it's the gap in the NBA schedule. So the NBA resumes tomorrow, and then the NHL will pick up on Thursday. And then it's a quick turnaround for the NHL, because then they'll have game 5 in Edmonton on Saturday. And then another 2-day break before going to, anyway, it is
2-day break, and then another 2-day break. We may not get there. We may not get there, but I mean, it's in the schedule.
Yeah, I think we'll get there. Calder Cup, by the way, begins on Friday. That will start in Charlotte. Abbotsford is there. Remembering a great Calder Cup champion gone too soon, the Amherst are going to be celebrating the life of Amherst Hall of Famer Scott Metcalf. That'll happen this Friday at Blue Cross Arena from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's open to the public. And, I mean, that word there, I mean, Scott endeared himself to the public as much or more than anyone who has ever worn the Amherst jersey. And I suspect there will be an awful lot of people making their way to Rochester, coming from wherever in Rochester and surrounding area to pay their respects to Scott's family. And to thank him for the legacy that he left behind in Amherst Red, White, and Blue. We miss him dearly. He passed suddenly at the end of last week. And again, a celebration of Scott Metcalf's life will happen this Friday at Blue Cross Arena from 1 to 4.
And Friday falls on the 29th anniversary of the last time the Amherst won the Calder Cup in 1996. So Metter was a part of that team. I mean, he was a veteran on that team. He, along with Dane Jackson and Brian Olsinger and Dixon Ward and Steve Shields and many others, got to wear those beautiful, you know, USA flags, Rochester Americans, the red striped jerseys, and got to win the Calder Cup at home. That was just amazing. So it will be a special event on Friday at Blue Cross Arena from 1 to 4, and there will be a ton of people there. But yes, you're right. And, you know, I talked to Jean-Luc Grandpierre over the weekend, Duffer, because he had played with Metter as well in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somehow we got to telling stories. Like, it's not like we played with Metter for multiple years. We played with him for one season as rookies. There's a lot of other stories that we can think of, right, playing with other guys. But somehow we had probably 30, 40 stories to talk about and to laugh and to tell about, you know, playing with Scott Metcalf and practice. And, you know, like I told a couple on the show, but, you know, there was another one I didn't tell. And this was a funny, not funny one. Corey Sarich, you know, was on the bus. One of the player thought it would be funny to put some itchy powder on a seat. And we had like a 5-hour bus ride. And Sarich, he sat down and his cheeks became too inflamed and be red. Who spoke up and told the other player that it was absolutely not okay to do that to somebody on a 5 or 6 hour bus trip? It was Metter. Metter, the guy that would probably play tricks on everybody. But this was something that had crossed the line. You don't do this to a player who's going to have to sit on a bus for 5 hours while his, you know, legs and behind are itchy and red and inflamed. So, yes.
And how was he treated for this uncomfortable bus ride?
Well, there was some wet towels that he was sitting on, because number one, his seat was now filled with powdered of this. So you had to put something on the seat so he wouldn't sit on it. And then there was some wet towels for him to just, everybody can feel that feeling when you like have this itchiness and then you just put something cold and wet on it and you're like, oh, thank God. So that's, that was Corey Sarich.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button.
Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Poor Sarchi. It wasn't good.
Any Sabres news you want to quickly dive into?
Well, you know what? This is not Sabres news, but this is NHL news. Lane Hutson, I mean, won the Calder Trophy this year. Yeah. He was surprised by friends and family in a restaurant. His dad kind of set it up. His dad and his mom knew about it, but they didn't tell anybody. So they basically laid it out as this was going to be a get-together to celebrate his nomination to being the Rookie of the Year, and he didn't know. And then they presented him with the Calder Trophy, which is kind of impressive to know that the great Montreal Canadiens franchise has not had a Rookie of the Year winner since Ken Dryden. Ken Dryden was the last Rookie of the Year winner.
After Ken had won a cup.
He came in late in the year, won a cup. I believe he was even the Conn Smythe that year, maybe. And then the next year, he was considered a rookie, won Rookie of the Year, and won a cup that year too, I believe. So, yes. So, Ken Dryden passing the torch to Lane Hutson. But Dustin Wolfe was a second place winner, if you can call him a winner. And Macklin Celebrini.
No, he was a runner-up, Marty.
He was the runner-up. So, okay, yeah, you're not a winner.
He's a winner in my books, but yeah.
And just edge Macklin Celebrini for runner-up, right? Celebrini finishes third.
Yeah.
So now the big talk, I believe, especially with the top two, is going to be extension over the summer, because Lane Hutson and Dustin Wolfe both have only 1 year left on their deal. Mm-hmm. They can sign an extension on July 1. Some speculation that Hutson could get 10 and a half, close to 11 on a long-term extension. Mm-hmm. There's also speculation that Dustin Wolfe, after technically one full season in the NHL, could get $7+ million on an extension. Like, that is some big numbers being thrown around for, you know, two Rookie of the Year candidates, a winner and the runner-up. Now, Macklin Celebrini has 2 years left on his deal. So he's going to play a year and then will be up for an extension. But it's a lot of money for Hutson and Wolf to be talked about on an extension this summer.
What do you think their numbers will be?
I think Hudson's going to be over $10 million. I think Lane Hutson...
On his second contract?
Yeah. I think Lane Hutson is going to play this year, and somewhere this summer or in season next year, they'll announce an extension for Lane Hutson, and it will be over $10 million.
Wow.
Yes. I know. But the Montreal Canadiens have this group of young defensemen coming up with Ryan Backer and Mayu, and now they have Hutson and Gouley, and, you know, they... Hudson's going to be the leader of that group. Makar, Hughes, like those type of defensemen. So he looks like he's 12, by the way, in the video. And his younger brother, Cole, looks like he's 8. Like they look really young, the two of them. But yeah, I think Lane Hudson's going to be 10. Now, Dustin Wolfe, I'm hesitating. I think if you were to offer Dustin Wolfe somewhere in the $5 million range, $4.5 to $5.5 million range on a 3-year bridge, I think that would probably be the smartest decision. And then you can give him, you know, the number one top end money if he lives up to it. But I think Lane Hutson, you know what he's got, he's gonna get his money.
Well, from the department of you can't make this stuff up, I have Islanders news for you today.
assistant coaches
with the Islanders. Okay. Now, obviously, these two gentlemen are beloved by many in the game.
Yes.
There's just a little bit of irony as to how or why they now find themselves working for the Islanders. So for the better part of last year, even though the Islanders stayed in the race, we talked about how bad their special teams were, like historically bad collectively. So they finished 31st on the power play. They finished 31st on the penalty kill. Who did they hire as assistant coaches? Bob Bugner, who was running the only penalty kill that was worse than the Islanders last year before he got fired by Detroit. And they brought in Ray Bennett, longtime Avs assistant. The only reason he got fired was the Avs power play was so terrible in the playoffs. So that's what they did to round out their staff and hopefully fix the two biggest things that kept them from making the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. You cannot make this stuff up.
So the way that I see it is a head coach like Patrick Waugh in the situation that he's in probably wanted to get his own assistance after being there now and seeing, you know, the turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And decided, I want those two. I want Ray Bennett and I want Bob Bugner to be with me. I like them. I know them. I've worked with them. I want, and we're going to be good. But if you're Matthew Darche, you're the general manager, you just come in. Do you step in there and say, no, like that's not happening? Or do you have to let it happen because that's your head coach? Yeah. Like if that was Lou, I think like at the very least, I think Lou would have said like, you serious with that? Like, I don't know, but I think that was a Patrick Waugh hired.
It is kind of amusing. All right, we'll see where the Islanders go. We'll see where all of this goes when we come back on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Couple of minutes to go. Spontaneous trivia time for you, Marty. Which Florida Panther has typically produced over the course of his NHL career at 0.43 points per game, but his Stanley Cup points per game production stands at 0.70?
Carter Verhaeghe.
No, that would be Evan Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
He is with big now goal top, yesterday. Top five in assists in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs at 15 points. Last year, en route to the Cup with Florida, has 15 points already this year. And yes, a big uptick in his production at this time of year.
Interesting. Sam Bennett decided to score a goal at home. He had 13 goals in the playoffs. 12 were on the road. And he finally got his 14 last night. But only 2 goals at home in the playoffs and 12 on the road. That is pretty impressive. He'd be my Conn Smythe favorite right now with the way that he's playing. Although before the game, if you had put a bet on Brad Marchand at plus 2,100, he's plus 300 right now. I think you could probably cash out and make some money on it.
One of the best as far as all around character, resilience, talent, and likability, TJ Oshie has retired from the NHL.
TJ Oshie, I remember him beating Russia in the Sochi Olympics in the shootout. He was fantastic, but a great character of the game, a gentleman of the game, and he played it a great career. So, yeah, congratulations to TJ Oshie.
We will be bridging the gap once again in the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow here on Sabres Live.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install.
all. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.